Should turn in your pew Bibles or your own Bibles, preferably, but to Romans chapter 14. We're going to be looking at verses 20 through 23, but since it's been a few Sundays, I'd like to read all of Romans 14. And as you're turning there, again, thank you for your prayers for Lynn and for me. I'm getting stronger each day by God's grace. And if you're wondering where Lynn is at, she's with her other true love, her grandson, over in Passe Christian. This week got delayed a week. But hear God's word, Romans 14, beginning with verse 1. This is the word of God. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld. For the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother, or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God, for it is written, As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it unclean. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. So do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then, let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Now verse 20. Do not, for the sake of food, destroy the work of God. Everything is indeed clean, but it is wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. The faith that you have, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself for what he approves. But whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats, because the eating is not from faith. For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. Amen to this reading of God's holy, divinely inspired word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, thank you for graciously giving to us your word, your inspired, inerrant, infallible word, our only rule of faith and practice. Thank you that we can read your word, study your word. Thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit in our hearts that helps us understand and apply, and always pointing us to Christ. Lord, pray that even today, as we study your word together, worship together, that you would be growing us in our grace and knowledge and love for Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. You know, this morning we return to our study of Romans. Our theme for the study of this beautiful book of the Bible has been, you know, the righteousness of God, a rejoicing in gospel hope. As Christians, we can and should be rejoicing in gospel hope. As a community of faith in Christ, we gratefully rejoice in God's gracious gift of the righteousness of Christ. Again, would invite you to turn in your Bibles, keep them open to Romans chapter 14, verse 20. That's on page 949. Actually began preparing for this sermon on February the 1st. I was going to preach it on February the 6th, but our sovereign God had other plans. Grateful for Dirk and for Jason, not only filling the pulpit, but preaching the Word of God. Thank you for all the elders for support, prayers, encouragement. But preparing for this sermon on Romans 14 and then it being postponed, I learned anew the truth of Proverbs 16, verse 9. Some of you might know this, Proverbs 16, 9. The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. You know, I had plans, but by God's grace, the Lord established my steps. You know, but here in Romans, you know, we're in a portion of Romans, and I think outlines are still available, but beginning in Romans 12, you know, God's word teaches us about the importance for us as Christians to practice gospel service. You know, so much of Romans teaches us some rich gospel theology about justification, about righteousness, about our hope in Christ. But now we're in that portion where the rubber meets the road. Our faith in Christ should display fruits of our faith in Christ, especially in the church. And here in this portion in Romans 14, God's word calls both the weaker believer and the stronger believer, you know, to lovingly live together as a community of faith. You know, and here this morning, as we look at Romans 14, verse 20 and following, we'll see that God's word graciously guides us and grows us as his community of faith. Well, how does God's word guide and grow us as a community of faith? You know, three words to help us follow along here. God's word protects us as a community. God's word prospers us as a community of faith. And then finally, God's word purifies us as a community of faith. You know, first, God's word protects his community. There in Romans 14, verse 20. Again, a swift summary of Romans 14. We're at the conclusion. You know, the first four verses, we are to practice a gracious welcome of weak and strong believers. You know, there are not two classes of Christians in the church. You know, they're united together in Christ. Verses 5 through 12, we are to deal with our differences, not deny them, not to bury them, but to deal with them in a Christ-honoring fashion. Why do we do that? We're the Lord's, you know, loved by the Lord. Verses 13 through 19, God summons strong and weak believers to walk together in Christ's love. You know, the strong believers, you know, and when Scripture here speaks about the strong believers, it seemed to be the Gentile believers who would eat all the meats. You know, they believed that those Old Testament dietary laws had passed away with Christ. All things are clean. But there were weaker believers there still in the church. It seemed to be Jewish converts who were still keeping the Old Testament dietary laws, either out of tradition, habit, or some sense of scriptural conviction. And here God's word is calling them to live together as a community of faith. Now, verse 20, there's a warning, a strong warning. Do not, for the sake of food, destroy the work of God. The emphasis is on that word destroy. It's a command from the Lord. You know, don't destroy. You know, it helps us if we go back to verse 19. The opposite of destruction is building up. Romans 14, 19. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. We're either edifying one another in our walk of faith, encouraging one another, or we are destroying the work of God. You know, God's word calls us to seek diligently the things that make for peace and for mutual upbuilding. You know, the gospel edification of other believers. Don't let your differences over eating meat cause discouragement in the body of Christ. Don't let it divide you. Don't let it destroy your gospel witness. You know, don't let it destroy. Don't tear down the fragile faith of your brother or sister in Christ. And here it seemed that these words are directed especially to the stronger brother. You know, the one or sister, the one who said, well, I've got it all together. I know Scripture. You know, do it the way I'm doing it. And here God's word is guarding the weaker brother, the one who is still learning about God's ordinary means of grace and the gospel. You know, remember, they're to act in love. Going back to Romans 14, 15, for if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. Show love, forbearing love one to another. You know, don't destroy. You're destroying the work of God. You know, what is Scripture referring to here? Well, two thoughts. One, it could be referring to the individual Christian, Ephesians 2, verse 10. Ephesians 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You know, so don't destroy the work of God. Don't destroy that work of grace in your fellow believer, but that work of God as well could refer to the church. You know, don't destroy the church. You know, your selfishness, your pride can destroy, undermine the work of God, the witness of Christ's church. You know, it's wrong. You know, look there at verse 420 again. Everything is indeed clean. You know, it's reaffirming, yes, you can eat all things, all meats. Those Old Testament dietary laws have been abrogated, passed away with the coming of Christ. But it is wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats. Okay, you have that liberty in Christ, you know, as the stronger brother, you know, to eat whatever you want, but act in love. You know, don't make your brother stumble. You know, we've seen that word before here in Romans 14. What does it mean to make a brother stumble? It means to cause a spiritual full that blocks a brother or sister's growth in grace in Christ. You know, we're either being stumbling blocks one to another, or we're encouraging one another, edifying one another. Now, still a word of wisdom, God's word protecting his community here in verse 21. Just gospel wisdom. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. You know, three scriptural directives here. You know, follow God's gospel wisdom, especially for the stronger believer. You love Jesus. You love the Word of God. You love the Church of Christ. Show love to your weaker brother. You know, to break it down, we could put it this way. In love, give up the liberty of eating all the meats. In love, stay away from wine. You know, it doesn't prohibit here any drinking of wine. We see that elsewhere in Scripture. Paul to Timothy, take a little wine for your health. But if your drinking of wine, of alcohol, is causing your weaker brother to stumble, take a break in love for your weaker brother. In love, don't be a cause of stumbling. Martin Luther put it this way. A Christian is a most free Lord of all, subject to none. A Christian is a most dutiful servant of all, subject to all. One more quote, up-to-date quote, Douglas Moo. The believer who seeks the peace and edification of the church should gladly refrain from activities that might cause a fellow believer to suffer spiritual harm. Especially was struck by that phrase, should gladly refrain. You know, it's not legalistic, you know, but in love. Love for Christ, love for one another. Yeah, I can give that up. Not just for Lent, not just for 40 days. You know, but till that weaker brother is strengthened in the faith, and maybe till we get to heaven. You know, think of it this way. In the past months, I've had more doctor's visits than all my life combined. I hadn't been in the hospital since I was 8 years old. Had my tonsils out, can remember it clearly. But each time I go to see the doctor, you know, when I think I ought to get a bonus card or something, frequent flyer miles here, you know, but it's and they're real good, but they always check my vitals. Okay, what's your weight? I don't want to see that. You know, what's my blood pressure? I'm still trying to stay off blood pressure medication. What's your heart rate? I always ask to check to see if I'm on new medicines. And, you know, up till lately, it was only vitamins I was taking. Now I have other medicines. You know, why do they do all that? You know, they want to protect my health. You know, at this point, I'm the weaker one. They're the stronger ones. You know, how much more is this true of us? For those of you who consider yourself the stronger brother or sister in Christ, you know that God's word is given to us to protect each Christian in his community. This is Christ's community of faith. This is Christ's church. You know, so, but it's both for the stronger and the weaker believer, you know, to keep us healthy and holy in Christ. God's word protects his community. Verse 22 of Romans 14. God's word prospers his community. A little difference in translation if you have something other than the English Standard Version. The King James translates it this way. Hast thou faith? That's a question. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. You know, the emphasis here is on faith. You know, what is faith? F.F. Bruce defines faith this way. It's helpful. a firm and intelligent conviction before God that one is doing what is right. A firm and intelligent conviction before God that one is doing what is right. You know, so it's faith, a scriptural faith, a faith that rests on Scripture. It's a salvation faith, faith that is resting on the completed work of Christ. It's a secure faith in our sovereign God. You know, there's a command even there in verse 22, the faith that you have, keep on keeping between yourself and God. You know, that idea of faith saturates Romans. It started, we heard it early on in Romans 1, 16 and 17. Romans 1, 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. We live by faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. You know, here, it's not our faith that saves us, it's our faith in Christ. You know, there's not only a gracious command there in Romans 14, verse 22, but look again, you know, the latter part of that verse. Blessed is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself or what he approves. Where do we hear that word blessed time and time again? Anyone know the answer? Beatitudes. You know, just that idea of being blessed, happy, content, joyful, satisfied, at peace, blessed. You know, and that's where I take that idea of God's word prospers his community. Blessed is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself for what he approves. You know, it's a tough truth to fully understand here. This is a challenging portion of Scripture, but here in verse 22 of Romans 14, three truths here as we think about blessing. You know, I believe there's a blessing of living together as a community of faith in Christ. You know, that we have a shared faith in Christ. You know, it's not that we are an island unto ourselves. You know, self-reliance. You know, quite the opposite in Scripture. You know, we live together as a community of faith. There's a shared commitment to the truth of God's Word, a shared love to walk together in Christ as a witness to a watching world. You know, look around us. I would challenge you this week. Who, you know, what example would you have, you know, of those who are walking together, one mind, one heart? That's the call for us as Christ's church, a blessing of living together as a Christian community. Secondly, blessed is the one who does not judge himself. Present tense. You know, there's a scriptural cross reference to 1 John 3:21. 1 John 3:21, let me read this for us. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, that's the word, if our hearts do not condemn us, do not judge us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. You know, blessed is the one who lives in the gracious liberty of God's word, the one who readily repents of their sin, who daily runs to the cross for forgiveness of sins. You know, we don't judge ourselves, but we know that one day we will appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and our only hope is in the righteousness of Christ, who took God's holy judgment for our sins on the cross. Finally, there is a blessed spiritual self-examination. Look at the last part. No reason to pass judgment on himself or what he approves. You know, that word there for approve speaks of testing. You would test a metal such as gold to see, well, is this fool's gold or is this genuine gold? You know, God's word tests us, examines us, you know, to see, to reveal if we are truly living in Christ. You know, Jesus uses that word examine in the parable of the great banquet. Just, I'm not going to preach two sermons, but to give you a little taste. Luke chapter 14. Jesus tells the parable of the great banquet. He tells his followers, when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, folks like us. And so the master throws the banquet. Time comes for the banquet. He sends his servants, you know, to say to those who have been invited, come, for everything is now ready. You know, and people make excuses. Hard to imagine they made excuses. You know, I'm not coming to the banquet, not coming to church, don't want to hear about the gospel, about the love of Jesus. And here, just one verse, Luke 14, verse 19. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to examine them. Please excuse me. You know, that's the word, examine them. I'm going to approve them. You know, before I buy these 5 oxen, sort of like buying a used car, let me test drive these oxen. It's more important, Jesus, you know, for me to examine these 5 oxen rather than coming to this banquet. You know, and here Jesus, well, God's word tells us here in Romans chapter 14, verse 21. You know, does God approve? It's God's word that examines us. It's the bright light of God's word that shines in every dark corner of our lives, you know, in a good way, you know, to see if we are truly loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, living by the gracious truth of his word. You know, a biblical principle here in Romans 14, 22, a personal faith in Christ will prosper as we live by the authority of God's word. You know, and if we're struggling to prosper, you know, in our walk of faith, you know, the challenge for you and for me is, you know, am I living under the authority of God's word? Or am I, who was it, Frank Sinatra? You know, I did it my way. I don't think that'll get you very far at Judgment Day. But here, God's hopeful promises. You know, this is not a health and wealth gospel being taught here. You know, but as we live under the authority of God's word, our lives will be fruitful, joyful. You know, here, you know, just a taste of that. You know, in Psalm 90, our responsive reading that we read together, Tom led us in reading it. You know, just 3 quick snapshots here if you want to see what that life of prosperity in Christ looks like. You know, verse 1, Lord, you have been our dwelling place. Lord, you have been our refuge, our holy habitation, our shelter. You know, when we live by the authority of God's word, you know, we prosper. The Lord protects us, preserves us. Then again, verse 14 of Psalm 90. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. You know, it's striking here in Psalm 90, plural pronouns. Satisfy us. It's not satisfy me. You know, satisfy your community of faith. You know, and God spiritually satisfies his saints. Then the last verse, verse 17. Still thinking of God's word prospering his community, a great prayer that we all can pray. Let the favor or the beauty or the bountiful blessings of Christ, let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us. Establish the work of our hands. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Lord, cause my life to prosper as a new mother, parents, in the workplace, in the community, in politics, wherever it might be. You know, God's word prospers and grows our faith in Christ by the loving and life-giving truth of his word. But finally, here in Romans 14, verse 23, God's word purifies his community. God's word protects his community. God's word prospers his community. God's word purifies his community. You know, I love the honesty here. Verse 22, the faith that you have, that word faith again. Verse 22 we read, now verse 23. Didn't want to review. But whoever has doubts. You ever have doubts? I do. Misgivings. Waverings. You know, times I feel undecided. Lord, what should I do? You know, I'm torn here, Lord. You know, whoever has doubts. We see that word for doubts used again, James chapter 1, verse 6, James 1, verse 6. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. You know, there is a presence of doubts here, and it seemed to be here with the weaker brother. You know, whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats. It seems that what is taking place here, that the stronger brother, either through strong arm tactics or majority vote, you know, and told the weaker brother, hey, it's time to eat. And so this weaker brother gave in against his conscience, against his convictions about the word of God. And what does scripture say? He's condemned if he eats old meats with misgiving, suffers from a convicted conscience. John Murray put it this way: we may not tone down the condemnation to which the weak believer is subjected when he eats without a clear conscience. And I believe part of that guilt then would lie upon the stronger brother. Why didn't you protect, love, guard the walk of faith of your weaker brother? You know, keep in mind that the first sin began with doubts about God's word. Remember Adam and Eve there in the Garden of Eden. What did Satan say? Hath God said? You know, did God truly say this? You know, Satan loves to plant those doubts in our minds. But whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats, because eating is not from faith. Faith in the word of God. Faith in the completed work of Christ on the cross. And then the last part of this verse. For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. We're only going to scratch the surface. Still chewing on this one. We'll be studying it in the days, weeks, months, years ahead. What is this teaching us? For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. You know, that faith in God's word. Faith in God's grace to us in Christ. You know, sin, you know, we're born in sin because of Adam's sin. We choose to sin. Earlier in Romans, we read, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We're all in need of grace, both the strong and the weak. So how does this last part of this verse, Romans 14:23, help purify our faith, not only in scriptures, but in Christ our Savior? You know, three truths here, I believe, based upon the Word of God. You know, for all of us, strong and or weak, there ought to be a passion for learning more and more about the Word of God. You know, when we are doubting, when we have misgivings, when we're wavering, more than ever, you know, turn to the Word of God. Trust in Christ. You know, it should be a passion to be learning more about the Word of God, God's righteousness, our sinful rebellion. Secondly, there ought to be a perseverance in living by the truth of God's Word. You know, without wavering. You know, don't give up. You know, when you're feeling torn, when the waves seem strong, the wind, you know, is blowing at gale force, hurricane force, you know, persevere in loving obedience by the power of God's Word, the presence of His Holy Spirit. You know, third, pray. You know, Lord, I'm not sure if this is sin or not. I'm struggling with this. You know, pray. You know, pray especially that God's Word, God would use His Holy Spirit and His Word. You know, search me, O God. Know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. You know, a great prayer from Psalm 139. You know, God, dispel my doubts. You know, I want to know your word. I want to walk in a way that is honoring, pleasing, and glorifying to you. But finally, it's the power of the risen Christ, you know, in our hearts. You know, we can't defeat sin, but there is one who defeated sin and death in the grave for us at the cross. Closing illustration. In today's worship service, we've already sung Christ Our Hope in Life and Death. That was a request. I understand the ladies sang that at Embrace Grace, along with In Christ Alone. But look again. The words are there in our worship bulletin. You know, let me read the first two lines and then the last two lines. And again, what is our hope in life and death? Christ alone. Christ alone. What is our only confidence that our souls to Him belong? We could read the whole thing, but look at the last verses now. Then we will rise to meet the Lord as a community of faith, the church believing in the victorious Christ, Christ who defeated sin and death in the grave at the cross. We will rise to meet the Lord. Then sin and death will be destroyed, and we will feast in endless joy when Christ is ours forevermore. Can't help but say the chorus. So sing hallelujah, our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah, now and ever we confess Christ our hope in life and death. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for the unchanging, unfailing truth of your word. Lord, we thank you for your gracious gift of faith in Christ. Lord, thank you that you call us as your redeemed children both strong and weak believers, to live together in love, walking in faith together in Christ. Lord, may there be a longing in our hearts even now for glory, when we will be forever with the Lord in heaven with all our loved ones in Christ, and most importantly, behold in the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. Lord, we thank you for the community of faith. We thank you for your church. But most of all, we thank you for Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.